So beautiful. February is almost over. So we're halfway through the month. It's 16th already. We're in February. Where is the year going? Well, wherever it's going, I'm going forward with it. And so are you. Amen. We're going forward. I mean, it's not going right for us, so we might as well go forward with it. And it's a season of, well, let me see how I want to phrase that. I'm trying to avoid saying stuff like seasons, because even though it's very important, I don't want to relegate in our natural minds a season to be 3 months or 4 months out of the year, right? This season could go for years if you're in a place in your life where God is walking you through times and spaces and growth and maturity and success and whatever the case may be. That season could be a nice period of time. And because I believe this is a good season, a season of power and dynamic explosion, I'm expecting everything to be just phenomenal and compressed by time. So I begin to look at, I begin to look at where I am with great appreciation, but almost, if I can explain this, almost with a meh, nah, you know, like, okay, this is great, but I know I'm not seeing things God the way you're seeing things. Okay, let me see if we can make this meh make sense, because a couple of you twisted your face up. The disciples came back to Jesus after he sent them out with a word, go cast out demons and stuff, and they came back, wow. Demons are subject to your name, and we saw, you know, deliverance, and we saw healings, and we saw great things. And Jesus went, "Eh, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Yeah, and it was just like so had to be so immediately humbling that they went out, and then we were doing the works like you. We were turning water into wine, and we were healing the sick, and we were doing this great stuff. Wow, Jesus, we're almost equal. And he was like, meh. Yeah. Whoop-de-doo. And so I'm looking at this, the levels of success God has given me with gratitude, but then on another side, kind of like, meh. Meh. This is just the beginning of a new beginning, which will become an ending, and start a new beginning, which makes what we already accomplished look once again like, eh. And so I'm learning as I'm moving forward in the things of God and seeing the blessings of God to not to be grateful, but not to be overly excited about it, because it's a season. And I expect us to go in this time, all of us now, come on, if you're in agreement, from one great season to another great season, from glory to glory, is the way the Bible would say it. That we're constantly seeing God moving us upward and onward and closer to his view of what greatness is and what his plan is for us. Can I get an amen and a yes to that? You know, I believe that all of the accomplishments that we've seen are to be cherished, but not to be elevated to a point of any type of godlike status or prominence in our life. But there are phases that we're going through as we walk with God towards the greater good or the destiny that he has called us to. And I was reading Philippians 2:13, which I do every day, and it something stuck out at me. It says, not in your own strength, but it's God that works at work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And I always read that as my good pleasure. God's at work in me both to will and to do like his good pleasure, like for me, letting know it's his good pleasure for him, which winds up working out for me But I'm here to do his good pleasure. Who caught that right there? I'm here to do his good pleasure, and I benefit from doing his will, but I'm doing it for him. So, last time we were on this message, God as a Friend, we covered two verses. One was Joshua 1:9, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I won't re-preach because then we won't get this part done, but just God showing us that I ask each of you to tell me or give you what you consider attribute as a friend. And then I was through the scripture showing you God as a friend, other than just the scripture that says, I no longer call you servants, call you friends, but showing God as a friend and what the attributes he displays for us as a friend look like. You remember this, right? And as we begin to look at these attributes, God is showing a friendship in his definition of friendship to us in a way that we probably don't look at it. Because if we be honest, we see God as ruler, king, and supernatural, mystical boss, the big boss, shot caller, commander in chief. But there's one thing I've learned about working on companies and working in jobs and then having my own business. It's very dangerous to try to be friends with coworkers. I mean, not coworkers, employees or people that work for you. You can be friendly, but you really have to really be mindful of trying to be these people's friends. You can be friends with coworkers, you know, even that to a degree, because a lot of them will use that to try to stab you in the back to get promoted up the ladder. But as a boss, Celine, as a person opening up your own company and going to have a staff working for you, you have to be very leery and weary of friendship development with the people who you employ, who work for you, because they begin to seize that as opportunity to try to take advantage of you, or they begin to feel entitled and they'll begin to flaunt themselves around the office or around the job like they're better than everybody else. They're causing a friction and division, and now everybody's now fighting to get that position that they have with you, and none of it for good reason, but to be seen as something more important than how they see themselves. A lot of times, to cover up for or compensate for insecurity or inner weakness. So you have to be very careful as a boss, talking to Celine, but everybody else, Lindsay and I've had this conversation a million times, you can't be these people's friends. You can't keep embracing. We just had a situation with somebody recently that we brought on to be a part of something we're doing, and they all of a sudden try to elevate themselves to tell us who we are. And you got to watch that stuff. I didn't become this person's friend and didn't want to be. And so we have to be careful when we are dealing with coworkers or associates that we understand their position. You bear witness to what I'm saying, right? How many of you have had experiences where you try to make coworkers or even people that are working with you a friend, and it turned out not so good? Can I see, like, yep, I've seen it, I've done it. So, in the situation with God as a friend, that's deep, because the boss is saying, I'm your friend. But he's not just the boss of a company, he's creator of the universe, heaven and earth. And he said, should I do this thing? Should I do this without first consulting with my friend Abraham? So he is literally inviting me to be his friend, but I am being mindful not to become entitled like a lot of church folk and people do, because I believe I have a friendship that I think that I'm in a place that I can tell God was right and was wrong and that I know better. And when we wrapped up last week in 2 Peter, to cast your cares upon him, it said, humble yourself before God, before his mighty hand, and cast your cares upon him. So he was saying, you can't come to me like you're on my level. You can't come to me like you're my equal. You have to stay humble. And then you cast your cares on me, because And I'll care for you. And why? Because the enemy walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he said, be vigilant, be sober. And I ended it by saying, he's not telling you to be vigilant, looking for and watching the devil. He's telling you to be vigilant and be sober about how you think about yourself and how you may seek to exhort yourself when you start to acknowledge you have a friendship with God and you have that closeness. It can be very tempting to think that you're on a level where you can now try to tell God what to do or think that you're his equal. You're not. In the natural, I'm finding it very uncomfortable now, and I do not try to be friends with people that I employ. And I just don't. But God is saying, you are my friend. But I still would offer the same caution. We are not to seek, the Bible says, being equal to God. Jesus did not seek to promote himself as equal, but he humbled himself. You understand? I'm throwing these scriptures out here to make sure you understand the ground of this. He was God's equal, but he didn't seek the recognition. He sought to humble himself and to become even as mere as man. And that's very powerful. He who exalts himself, I will bring down. He who humbles himself, I will exalt. And I can go on and on with scriptures where God is saying, you see my power and you see my deliverance and you see my strength and you see my presence in your humility. Who's being blessed by what's being said right now? This is very important. The power comes from humility. And I asked God one time, I said, I understand that because you seem to work in the opposite of the way we work, but help me understand it in an illustration that makes sense to me. And even though this may sound like a corny one, me and God talk and God helps me out. He says, you notice that if you put something in a sling, if you don't pull it back, the further back you pull it, the further it goes when you release it. Yeah, it makes sense. He said, when you exalt yourself, you pull yourself above the stretch. When you humble yourself and you pull yourself back, you get yourself back far enough. When I release you, you're going to fly further. And that spoke to me. He said, I need you to continually, because I used to feel like that. I'm always putting everybody else in front of me. I put Lindsay in front of me. I put Nellie's. She's on the bottles. I'm not even putting myself up there. And God said, yeah, but look who I'm blessing. Not the one who's up front or trying to be up front, but the one who keeps sitting himself back. And I said, I get it. I get it. I get it. My power is released when I abase myself. When I am not trying to be seen, but when the people see what God is doing through me. And I want to bring that home by saying, when people see what God is doing through you without you having to say, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, I love me some Jesus. No, I don't do that, I'm a Christian. No, when people can see that in you without you having to walk around with a I love Jesus hat on or honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker, right? People should be able to see that in us because of the way we conduct ourselves. And that's a powerful thing. So I'm going to get off of that. I'm going to move on. Hebrews. Let me see. Let me see if I got that down here. Yes. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And then I'm going to go back to the Peter verse again and just walk through it one more quick time. I'm giving you some real serious food right here, and I want you to take your time and eat it slowly because this is very nourishing stuff to get to the levels that we're called to. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstance and with what you have. For he, God himself, said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Now, I'm going to take a sip before I say this. This is deep. Get your seatbelts. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, and lust, or craving for earthly possessions. Oh, man, I can't crave any for earthly possessions. He said, wait a minute. Let your character be free from love of money. That's a big one. Including greed, avarice, lust, or craving for earthly possessions. We all crave some earthly possessions, Lord, don't we? And be satisfied with your present circumstance and with what you have. Stop right there. Because this is where this road gets thick, right? Say with me, and be satisfied with what you have. Say it again. Say it one more time from your heart. Say it with your chest. Now, demonic ministry teachings have said, no matter what your state is, you just be satisfied with it. That's where God put you. That's where he wants you. And you just be satisfied and be happy with what you got. Have you heard that? I know I've heard that. I haven't heard it for a long time. And I know my insides cringed when I heard that. But they don't finish this. And the statement is, watch this. Be satisfied with what you have. For God himself has said, I will not in any way fail nor give you up nor leave you without support. So he didn't say be satisfied with it because that's where I'm keeping you. He said be satisfied with it because I will take care of you. I will not leave you here. I will not leave you without support. I will not leave you without covering. So whatever your situation is, instead of freaking out and being upset and being angry and trying to figure out why God, why me, I don't understand. Look at what this person, he said, be satisfied in your state. Why? Because if I can trust God and love God in my state, he can elevate me to the next state. But if I'm always clawing for the next state, then we remove him from the job of doing it. If we want to support ourselves, we cannot be supported by him. I used to make this joke all the time, comment all the time. Lindsay, I've seen my Nelly do it. Just freaking out, trying to work hard and just got to get some business. You got to get some customers. Oh my God. And just running around in circles. And I'm sitting there, you know, looking over, watching TV or Nelly would come. I mean, Lindsay would come up in the office. I'd be sitting up there with cartoons playing while I'm doing what I'm doing and just freaking out. And I'm like, either he provides or he don't. Come on. Either he provides or he don't. And if, watch this, and if he don't, all my running around isn't going to change a thing. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. I'm not running around trying to build a house that ain't going to stand up. So I'll just leave all the lumber laying right there in the yard, and I'll go take a walk. You follow what I'm saying? It's important to have that ability to say, even in my state, God, let this get to these people. I'm going to learn to be content therein, even in this state. Even though I feel the pressure, even though I feel like the whole world is coming down, God, I'm going to learn to be content and just wait for your instruction. Now, this is important because you can't hear your friend when you're talking over your friend. You can't, some of my biggest quarrels with people is they come to me for advice, and as I'm giving them advice, they're counter giving advice to the advice. Well, then get away from me with your madness because I don't have it and go solve your problem. But don't come to me as a sounding board when you've already made up your mind to be restless. the end of the conversation, I'll wind up with your frustration and you won't wind up with any of my solution. How many of you have had that experience with people? How many? Let me see. How many of you have had that? People come to you and then they just won't stop talking. Don't you hate it? Then don't do it to God. Don't go to God with your pre-planned solutions or what would make your life better. God, I'm grateful for what I have, where I am. I remember saying that when I was in the office, and God said, give up the house, just let it go. I had worked my whole life to get to that place. I don't know if you guys understand that. And I was in my 60s now. I worked my whole life, and he said, just give it away. Just let it go. Let it go. Okay. And now I'm sleeping on a very uncomfortable couch in my office. And I want you to understand this now for a year. And you didn't hear me complain, and you didn't hear me whine, and you didn't, I said, oh man, I woke up, my back is stiff. But you didn't hear me complain. I don't know why I have to stay here. I worked so hard to get where I am. And now look at what's going on. You notice I didn't do that? Those of you around me noticed I didn't do that. You may have saw me hurt. You may have saw me cry. You may have saw me go through some things, but you never heard me complain about where God had me. And when it came time for me to move, I said to God, which I taught you guys, Lord, if you would be so kind, I'm content to stay right here for the rest of my life if that's where you have me. But if you would be so kind, I would like a bed, just a nice bed somewhere. That's okay with you. And I know that he kept telling me I can't put a bed in the office. So that was the thing that made me know, like, okay, he told me no to the bed in the office. So I'm saying, okay, well, then you don't want me in the bed. I can't put a bed in there. And a few people I said, why don't you just put a bed in there upstairs? And nope. But then when he told me give it to another, he said, okay, now put a bed up there. Oh, now I can put a bed up there. But he knows better than me. And I knew to be content. I knew, listen, children of God, listen, children of God, I knew from experience to be content where I was. I knew from experience to be content where I was. I knew from experience to be content where I was. I'm grateful. There's people that are sleeping under bridges right now, Lord. I'm content where I am. I'm content with what I have. It's not what I used to have. It's not as great as what I used to enjoy. I don't have my recording studio anymore. I don't have my little private space. None, but you know what? I'm content where I am. Because if you are, he's saying, know this, I will not forsake you or leave you without. So now let's bring this scripture home. See if I got time to go to my next one. Watch this. Be satisfied with your present circumstance and with what you have. For he, God himself, said, I will not in any way fail, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Then watch this. He says, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless or forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you, assuredly not. He beat that in. I will not, I will not, I will never, I will not, I will never, I will not, I will never. I'm gonna tell you something. Let me tell you something funny about that. I was listening to Spanish music years back, and I was trying to learn the language to listen into the music. And anybody other than Dr. Brown speak Spanish? Lindsay speaks some Spanish, so you know, Esther says a little bit. Tell me if I'm wrong. They emphasize, if they say, I love you, as I love, my God, love you in the older stuff. And if they say something like, if you leave me, I will never love again. It's like never, 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 never. I was like, boy, they really emphasize it. Am I misreading this or am I correct with this? I'm correct, right? And I was like, wow, they really go in to make sure you understand. When I say never, I mean never. And when I say love, I mean love, 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 love. Like, I need you to know that, like, the every hue of it from the core of my being is expressing this love. Yes? Am I correct? I want you to understand that when I read this verse, I said, God, you're doing the Spanish thing right here. You said, I will not, three times, nor, not in any degree, once again, fourth, leave you helpless or forsake you or let you down or relax my heart. Over and over and over and over, let you, oh, you gotta say, I'll never let you down. Problem solved. No, he said, never let you down, never relax my hold, never to any degree, never, not a shade, not to the little to the left or a little to the right. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? Never, 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 never. That's a friend. I ain't nobody friend like that on this planet. I'm telling you that right now. I think I'm a pretty good friend, but you ain't getting that. I will try and I'll do my best, but the never, never know with that kind of assurity. And he's saying with to assurity. I'm gonna try. Now I'm gonna do the best. Now, if I let you down, forgive me. I'm only human. Stay with me. This is God who created the universe, promising you that on no degree, at never at any form. Are you hearing me, Miss Watson? Ever, never, ever, no degree, not slightly, not a little bit, not oops, I forgot I meant to do that, but something came up and I couldn't do it. She said, never, never, ever, to any degree, will I not see you through. But I need you to not crave and not chase and not be hungry for these things, but for me and my friendship. So let your character and let your moral disposition be free from the love or the lust or the craving of things that I provide. Do not ever let yourself be pulled around by these situations or circumstances. Who am I talking to right now? Because somebody needs to hear this. But they're pressing on me for every side. Well, that makes sense. That's the devil's job, to get you distracted and to get you looking at the things that prevent you from receiving the friendship and the love that's been promised. Everything the enemy does is to distract you from looking down the road and looking in the right direction so that you can see the blessing as it's coming. And I am becoming such a stickler about focus. Lindsay was talking to me the other day and she said she went to a meeting. She said, I was acting like you. They were expressing their problems. They was ranting and raving about what's going on. She said, I started asking them, but why? But where did it came from? But what are you focusing on? And she said in the room, and I'm guessing it was a room for the females, got ticked, right? Got irritated and annoyed. And because she kept asking all these questions because they weren't understanding that she was like saying, I'm trying to get you to focus off of the moment and deal with the source of your discomfort so that we could come to a solution. And God is very much the same way. If I could get you to stop focusing on what your problem is, it was actually what, a half and a half, or half and half, men and women. So the men were acting like that too. That's a shame. But my point is, it goes for anybody who ain't focused on God and God's solution. So you get caught up in looking at this, you get caught up in looking at that, and it's like, okay, but how did we wind up here? Well, we just gonna deal with this. No, we wind up with the situation because we let our moral character and disposition be clouded with the love of money and greed and avarice and lust and craving for earthly possessions. This is how we got here. I'm gonna say that one more time for the people in the back. Because you let your moral disposition be cluttered, and crowded, and not be free from the love of money and greed and avarice and lust and craving for earthly possessions. This is how lack is born. If I trust the friendship and the rest of it goes on to define a friendship. I will never let you experience lack. I will never leave you uncovered. But how come I feel uncovered? Because maybe something else has more power and more of your focus than this friendship and this promise. Maybe, just maybe. No, absolutely, absolutely, without question, that's what it is. No, maybe. No, but I'm trying to be a good person. Okay, so then you are more reliable than God, then you and your assessment of yourself has more value than him. That means his word works sometime, but just not for you. Get up right out of here with that stupidity. No, if it's not working, it's you. It's you. It's 100%. I promise you, it's you. I have good intentions. Nobody cares about your good intentions. The scripture says that, I mean, the people have said over and over, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And it's the truth of the matter. You know, that whole thing, enemies of the law is no excuse. That's not a court thing. That's a Bible thing. That's a scripture. Ignorance of the law, not knowing the law, is not an excuse to break it. All right? That's scripture. You can look it up if you want. It's in the scripture. Now, he's saying, check your moral compass. Check your moral compass. Check your character. Do you really trust me, or are you moved and pulled and tossed around by the situations and the circumstances that seem to be facing you? Now, I'm going to say this to you, and I want to say this with a humble heart. I still deal with this. I have to catch myself and say, stop, stop, stop. What are you freaking out about? And then bring myself right back under his hand. And that's acceptable. Any of you lack wisdom, ask the benevolent God without judging or criticizing or fault finding, he will put you back on the right path. So God expects you to fall off. That's why he created all these fail safes and escapes for you to get out and get back in the game. So listen to me again, because I'm gonna wrap up on this one scripture today. I'm not gonna go further than this. Let your character, and I want to use those three words. You're listening? Let is a very important word. It's the biggest word of the sentence. Your moral character. Why is let the biggest word? Who knows why I would say let is the biggest word? You can put it in the chat. Who would say, out of all the words, why the word let is the biggest word? Come on, talk to me. Shay's putting here. I don't think they have the speaker open. There you go. Somebody put it. Everybody put it. Yeah, it's my position. It's the position of the heart. All of you guys are saying the right thing. Absolutely right. When God says to you to let, he's saying that's your responsibility. It is your heart position, and you have control over it. This is the place where you decide the outcome. Let your heart, you have the ability to let your heart and your moral character go the total opposite direction. But he's saying to you, and he's saying to me, you let your heart. I like that. You initiate and activate the action. Come on, Dr. Brown. You initiate it. You do. You are the battery that makes this engine. God gave you the car and everything and all the functions that it needs, but you got to provide the battery. You got to be the catalyst. You have to be the thing that ignites this thing and sets it off. You do. That's the part you play. Listen close. That's the part you play. So I want us to acknowledge right now, I will let my moral disposition be free from the love of money, which includes greed or avarice or lust or craving of earthly possessions. And I will be satisfied with my lot as it stands. Now, I only saw two people saying it with me. But I will let my moral character be free from lust, avarice, and craving for earthly possessions, and I will be satisfied with my circumstances at present. Because I know that God himself has said he will not in any way fail or give me up or leave me without support. Say it again in your own words. Talk about it right now. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Talk to him about it right now. Speak it. I know that I will not allow things or circumstances any longer to dictate my mood, my happiness, the way I feel, how I feel about life, how I feel about my life. I will be with your anointing, content with whatever my lot is right now. I will praise you and worship you from where I stand. And I know I can't do it in my own strength. So I lean on Philippians 2:13 again. Not in my own strength, but it is you who work in me, both energizing, empowering, and giving me the ability to accomplish that which you called me to. Lord, help me in this season be content, full of joy, happy and trusting in my friend, you, in my present circumstances, knowing that you have my out, you have my back, and you will not let me fail. And I will end it with him saying, I will not in any degree leave you helpless or forsake you or let you down, nor would I even relax my hold on you. Surely not. All praise to the name of our Savior. We thank you for being the God that you are. And we thank you that you do cover us. And we thank you that you do not relax your grip, not even a little bit. You are a God that has a stronghold against any stronghold. You bring us out. There's no weapon formed against us that can prosper when we trust and rely and lay ourselves on your hand. We thank you for the victory that belongs to us in you. And we thank you for your blessing. We accept your love and we're grateful for the condition. We stand comfortably knowing that if this is just a holding place to where you've called us to, we can be content in that. If we are out of your will in any way, and we are somewhere that's a result of judgment, then we ask you for wisdom. We ask you to forgive us, and we ask you for wisdom. And your word says, you will not find fault, you will not judge us, and you will generously give us the insight we need to step into the land that you've called us to. So we thank you for it in advance. We are covered, we are protected, and we are your chosen possession. And we're honored to walk with you and love you wherever you are in our lives. And we thank you, Father, in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. And amen. Before you start recording, I just want to add this. I was talking to the Lord about just this message he wanted me to deliver, how people go through what they go through. And the Lord said to me, not you guys, but he said, you know, a lot of people out here that call themselves serving me are just gold diggers. They just want me for what I have, and they with me as long as they think they're getting what they want. And there's a judgment to be poured out on those people that is coming also this year, dynamic, explosive. And you're gonna see a lot of people getting hit by their decisions. And I want you not to run in and try to help these people. I want you to stand back Because if they don't see your example and they don't see me moving through you, they're not going to hear you anyway. And if they're not willing to submit to that, they're not going to see it anyway. You're going to have to stand aside and watch. And I was like, wow. Okay, which by your grace, I can do that. So, this word I'm giving you today is for your betterment, for your strength, for your upkeep. Release all of these things that you hold on so dearly to that you think bring you joy and happiness, because they don't. He does. Only He does. And I've been blessed in so many ways. And the more He's blessing me, the less I'm caring about the stuff. Because I'm appreciative, but so what? I need to know that I have that friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I thank you for your time. And amen.